the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the post-Turkey Day show. Hope you wobbled over to the radio, tuned us in, or on your podcast or wherever you're at. But hope you had a blessed and filling Thanksgiving. So we're moving forward. And Bob got himself a big doe up at deer camp. And
it was part Holstein, I think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. He was picky.
I saw her. I followed her. I hunted three deer this year.
Yeah.
One was a one-ton GMC.
Yeah.
Because his rack looked like the front end of a GMC pickup truck, the new ones.
Wow.
It squared off. It went giant. And he was had a body of a bull. I mean, yeah. It was so big. I hope my son gets to shoot it.
Yeah.
I hunted him. I hunted a beautiful 8-point that I'm afraid the neighbor gut shot. And then this doe, which I named Big Girl, because every time I saw her, she took off.
Yeah.
She was smart. So I was sitting in one of my favorite spots, and they came out of a different area, and I was trying not to fall asleep.
Take a page out of my book.
Saturday morning. Well, you know, I was up there by myself, and it's like real quiet and beautiful, so serene. And I just, you know, you get a little tired of looking. You can't be an eagle eye forever, right? And I just looked up the hill once.
Now he's giving me my excuses for
yes.
the next time he brings this
yes.
up.
Yes. Yeah. So I looked up the hill, and it's like, oh, my gosh, there is a deer right up at the top of the hill. And she was looking off to my left, and I was like, oh, I hope she's looking at a buck. But now she's looking at me, so I can't turn my head and look. So I had to very slowly lower my head so that the bill of my hat covered my face. And if you move slow enough, they really don't pick up on it. And I waited a couple minutes, and then I looked up, and they were all coming down the hill. She was leading the way, and she just got into position and took my opportunity.
Yep.
And
so fresh venison.
Yes.
Here we go.
My goodness. So I process at the camp.
Right.
I have the device with the pulley and lifted it up into the buck pole, yep, and skinned it and started cutting off muscle masses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just shocked how much there was. And I keep like a garbage bag ready in a cooler, and I put it all in there. And then, of course, the back straps and the tenderloin went into a separate little cooler.
Yep.
And I cut up here's a great opportunity for you. If you do as much of it as you can at camp, there's nothing to do at home really other than the heavy work of making your burger or sausage or whatever you're going to do.
Which eventually during this show we're going to tell you about.
So it's kind of a process though. And it's the first time this year I've been so complete at camp. And especially with the back straps, you know, if you like chops.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jops like chops.
I do.
There's your opportunity. Bring some cutting boards with you. And it was a perfect spot because all your trimmings go in the one. The waste gets chucked down by the lake so that the scavengers can get it.
Yeah.
And it was just so nice to carry, like, I don't know, there was probably 40, 50 pounds of meat I carried out.
Yeah.
And none of the mess had to go home, so I had to worry about, you know, that.
Right.
So let's talk about smoking a little bit.
Okay.
And these notes are all from classes Rob and I did over the years. Some of it came from the University of Kansas or Missouri, and some of it came from different schools and whatever that we gleaned. But I did all my training in Kansas City with him and some other guys. And so there was an abundance of curriculum and good data. So this comes from one of those sessions, and it says the smoking process both preserves and flavors the food. And that preserve is a big part because, you know, back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators, so they just used curing salt and they smoked it.
Right.
And like if you look at prosciutto even, they didn't even smoke it. They just coated it in salt and hung it in a cool place for months.
Right.
And that's how you get prosciutto. I learned
and they cut that paper thin.
I learned that from Umberto Piccarelli when he was on the show that time. I went to and visited him in Detroit, and he's old school paisan who has a phenomenal restaurant called Piccarilli's. And so the curing process, whether you're smoking or whatever, it's good science. And I would tell you to really, I guess, pay attention to not only the old timers, but any data you can find online from universities or trusted sources. And most of the stuff's pretty good. I haven't run into too much junk out there. But generally, there's three different methods of smoking foods: hot smoking and cold smoking.
And liquid. Right?
And I hate to say it, but liquid.
Right.
And it's not as bad as you might think. Right. Guys who use their ovens will very often use liquid smoke. And I would tell you to check around before you use it and talk to your friends who have tried it, because they do vary quite a bit in their effectiveness and their flavor.
Right.
And little bit goes a long way.
That's where I was going to go. My only recommendation with liquid smoke is that it's like perfume. A little bit of it is amazing. Too much of it is overwhelming. And that you don't want to use too much liquid smoke because you can't take it off. Once it's on there, it's on there. But
right.
If you got to try it, I guess. There's a brand that's called Liquid Smoke, but there's also a lot of other ones out there.
I think it's Wright's is the big brand.
Yeah.
Wright's Liquid Smoke. And I'm not saying that's the best. I just know that I like their bacon until the Chinese bought them.
Yeah.
Then
here's the thing is that, that if I'm doing my own smoking, that's my last resort is liquid smoke. Because we are fortunate to be set up with equipment that is made to smoke meats.
Right.
And if you, whether it's electric or whether it's natural fuels, and the latter is where I much prefer lump charcoal with seasoned wood.
Yep.
Those are, you can make some incredible flavor with that you just can't get anywhere else.
Well, I got some more wood for you too.
Good.
Just cut another hickory.
Yeah, right. And
I can honestly say I've never used liquid smoke.
Right.
Just thinking back, I have never used it.
Yeah.
I've tasted food that people have used it on, and the one time I thought it was acceptable, it was Wright's.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's the best. I simply know that that one didn't turn my nose up too bad.
I know my mom had used it in the past. I've not used it either.
Yeah.
Just because I don't need to. I've got natural. So let's talk about there's smoking in general. It's basically a process that preserves the meat and the flavor.
Yeah.
Because you're cooking it.
Yep.
Right? So you either got hot smoking or cold smoking. And in the next segment, we'll talk about the differences between those two. But when you smoke meat, you need it depends on what cut you're making. If it's a big thick cut,
Of meat too?
Right. Yes. If it's a big thick cut, you absolutely need temperature probes in it. But if it's jerky, then you can kind of tell by looking at it, and you can tell by the feel of it and tasting it. Right. And again, depending on what you're smoking, the type of meat, it isn't going to hurt you if it's a little underdone. But you just don't.
So if your wife comes outside and says what you smoking, you don't have to look guilty.
Right, exactly. And most of that's legal now, so that's all good. But anyway, so coming up next in the next segment, we're going to talk about hot smoking versus cold smoking, and then Bob's probably going to give you a couple recipes of great things that you can do with meat that you have. And the beauty of this is these are not the most expensive cuts.
No.
So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.